Hello everyone, please take a seat. We will continue with our last session for today. Wir brauchen gleich nochmal zwei.
Okay, aber werden die...
am besten hier.
Okay, genau. Okay, dann ja, ich bin ja, hier immer.
Okay, everyone, as you notice, we will do the next session in English. We have wonderful guests here today. For the last session. Hi, my name is Helene. I'm working as a project lead at the Open Knowledge Foundation in Germany, and I will be your host for the next session that is called Evidence is Power, Data Literacy in Action. I think at the Data Summit today you have seen quite many interesting examples and approaches of how to work with data and how digital information, once made used and useful, can actually benefit a society. And one can say data can be used as evidence, and evidence again is power. But we need the right skills to understand and be able to relate to data and technology. And we need the right knowledge to use digital information in a very critical way. So we need to improve our data literacy skills. But how can civil society organizations actually benefit from the use of digital information, and how can we actually become more data savvy? And I'm very excited to introduce you to two of our speakers today who are working on these questions for quite a long time already. And they both have something in common. They are part of the steering committee of the International Program School of Data that builds and sustains a network of data literacy professionals and practitioners. In 30 member organizations worldwide are part of this network, like France and Macedonia, and also Germany with our last project, Datenschule. Please come on stage, Silvia and Badil. Silvia Frederiksen works as a design researcher at Cité du Design in Saint-Étienne in France. And Silvia will talk about the different approaches to teaching data literacy skills. And Badil Yashari works as an executive director at Metamorphosis Foundation, which is an NGO in Macedonia. And Badil will focus on the role of NGOs in promoting open data for accountability and transparency in Macedonia. And we will start with Silvia. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Helen. Hello, nice to see you here. Thank you for the invitation. So I will try to speak about the network, but also I will try to focus on French actions that a little bit different than the other action of the network. We are a small group, like 10 people, and we are all dispatched in France, so we are like a network in a network. And as we are a small group, we are focusing on how to be really close to the people. Yeah, and I wanted to start with this picture because this is really important for me. I'm really honored to speak after the previous presentation of Dear Data, because I think our subjects are really closed. This is a picture that has been taken during the last streaming, the last summer camp. So each year, School of Data Network organizes a summer camp that lets all the members being together during 2 weeks or 1 week and more, and we are making fellowships, and we are also making a training session and sharing skills. And this picture is one of the pictures that been taken during the last one, so it was in Brazil, and this image is important because we discussed about the fact that School of Data, after this first year, when we were really we are challenging data technologies, and now the network is focusing on human, and it's why we are going to it's the way we are going to work with the in France. So I will speak about the methodology we are using. So we are working with the civil society, civil servants also, and administration, and we are making many data expedition. You know, I think the data expedition, it's one of the network methodology. It's a kind of cycle in seven actions, and it permits to drive a project from the beginning to the end. So we have seven steps. The first step is to define the problem and the issues that will matter in the question, in the subject. The second one is, the idea is to find the data where, in a survey, in a portal. And the third one is to get the data by crowdsourcing, by scrapping, by download. Then you have a step which is to validate the data, because even if you have the data, you have to check it, check the methodology, check the metadata. Then you have to clean the data, to analyze them, and to present them. So it's these are the seven steps, and this is one of example of a project that we are making in France. So we are working in small area in Paris. We are working in long terms, so we are really close to habitants, and we are trying to make a consultation with them to discuss and to try to understand what are the problems they have to solve. So we have, before starting to work with data, there is a big period of talking, and this is really important. Before working with the data, we are starting to focus on the problem. When we have defined the problem, when we started to understand if we are looking at the problem the good way. For example, here we have working on quality of life, and in this area, the problem of the guys was insecurity and violence. It's in an area in the north of Paris. And finally, step by step, we decided not to work on specific problems of insecurity, but we start to understand what can improve the quality of life in the place, and what can make me feel better in my place. So we move the focus from the problem, the human problem, to the quality of life problem. And we made a sound level expedition. So with sensors, we try to map all the really noisy area. And so we made many work. We use an app called Sound City, developed by a lab which is called INRIA in France. And we map all this map with this sound level. So all is in open data, and this is one of example of one subject we work with the group, but we are working on many different subjects. For example, the relationship with the parents and the students, the way parents can involve in the education of their child. And each time we are making new times of discussion, and the more we are working in this way, the more our partners and the stakeholders understand that before asking us to come with many techniques, many computers, the first work we have to do is to create a good condition to work together. So this is a really important for us. So as we wanted to work really close to the people, we decided to develop as their data many different ways to work without computer. So this first example is called the DataVis card game. It's a card game inspired by the DataVis catalog that you should know already. This is really simple. You have two kinds of cards. One card with a representation model in the side. At the other side, you have the category that belong to. For example, here we have a pie chart, so it's a comparison, it's a part of a whole. And each card, you have this different function. And the idea of the game is to work with a data set. Many subjects can be used. We are asking questions, taking from the data set. For example, I want, so here it's a data set about domestic violence, so I want to train the trend in the number of reported cases of domestic violence for the last 10 years. The participants try to find the best model to answer to the question. So it's a way to make data more accessible from the non-expert people. So this project has been funded by the network, the School of Data Network. This is important to know that each year the network is funding several projects all around the world, radio project, project in favela in Brazil, etc., etc. And here in France we have also different projects with physicalization and that physical data visualization. For example, this game, which is developed by a researcher called Samuel Huron, is a designer, and he works on this that subject of data visualization for non-expert people. So with this game, we are working with Paris City Hall to explain how to understand the budget, city budget, with the participants. So you have some tokens and you can visualize budget. So this is very important because also here it's a way to engage non-experts in a civil society project, for example, the participatory budget in Paris. So in Paris, it's the second time we are making an open budget like this. The first year, many of the guys, the inhabitants of Paris who vote for the project, they vote a bad way. There were so many projects, for example, about gardening and social issues completely lost. And so if people are more able to understand how the budget is made in their own city, and if they understand how they can act with this participatory budget with data visualization, we're going better and better in the way to collaborate with these institutions. The last one is another project. It's a a table developed by Pauline Gourlet, a researcher in education. It's a table made to visualize the activity on an open space like a Fab Lab. So each participant come and explain, putting one token, where he is in the space, the way he work, how long he stay in the place. So it's really interesting to understand mutation of the way we are working, and it's also very very important because it engage people in the action and in the observation. So. That was some examples of methodologies. And the last idea I wanted to share with you is the idea that step by step, we are understanding that before making our own project, we're understanding that we are really useful in a collaboration situation with other NGO. For example, we made a big workshop last year with Oxfam on corruption, and we discovered that they made a really good report, but the data set that they made in 2 years, so a really huge work, it was completely impossible to work with because it was completely subjective. It was many mistakes. So we decided to work this way, not to make for the moment our own project, but helping the other that have not the skills to help them to promote open source and good data set that can be used in a long-term project. So this is an overview of French project. Bardil, you want to continue? You have news for us. You have news for us.
Bad news, unfortunately. Okay, thank you very much, Helen. Thank you, Sylvia. I'm Bardil Jashari, the executive director of Metamorphosis Foundation, a proud network of the School of Data. And I'm really glad to be here, although, as I said, I'm also concerned and disturbed by what happened last night in Macedonia. I don't know if there was anything on the news here in Germany, but there were protesters who violently entered the parliament and attacked members of the parliament and journalists. And it was an attempt for lynch and murder, and it was really disturbing. Even one of our colleagues from Metamorphosis Foundation was there as a journalist, was injured. That's how it's even for me a schizophrenic situation to speak about open data, accountability and transparency, while last night we had a clear evidence that in my country, institutions cannot perform any activities that is within their mandate and have the competencies according to the law. But nonetheless, that's the situation. This sad event last night also motivated me to change my presentation. So I changed it a little bit, so, especially the beginning. And it inspired me to speak also about the context in which civil society organizations are functioning. Because although all civil society organizations working with open data, working in accountability and transparency, working against corruption, have similar challenges. They share also the same vision and values of openness. And challenges that we face on the ground are really different when we're speaking about countries like Macedonia. And it's not only about Macedonia, it's the same with the entire Balkan region. We share this burden of transformation from a government which was closed, from a culture of secrecy, and also from a culture where nothing was to be shared. Now we try, as civil society organization, as activists, to transform this government into a more accountable, more transparent government, where the governments at all levels in our countries are functioning based on open open governance and good governance principles. And this makes our work even more difficult. And it was also this backsliding from democracy is not happening only in Macedonia. Also, although last night it culminated in my country, it is something that the entire region is sharing, this backsliding from democracy, which can be identified with a shrinking space for public debate, for critical thinking, where data and information about the work of the government is almost inaccessible, where it's very difficult to get those information, and even when we get those information, it's often very inaccurate. And in the entire region, we are facing this disconnection between the citizens and the government. And not only that, trust into governmental institutions are in a very, very low level. The reason why in my country is because institutions are, I would say, occupied by a political party, and these political parties do not allow the institutions to perform according to the law. And this is also something that was shown last night. For those who don't know, I will speak later if you're interested during coffee break. The majority of the members of the parliament were not allowed to vote for the Speaker of the Parliament, and they were not allowed to form the government because the ex-ruling political party occupied all institutions, and they were through violence preventing this thing. And it's very difficult to speak about accountability and transparency when institutions are occupied. Nonetheless, not only for Macedonia, also in the region, we have at least two positive stories. One is the open government partnership, where all countries from the region somehow committed to openness, and they have to make to show at least some efforts that they are committed to openness and open their data and foster citizen participation. And the second one is that all countries from the region share, at least for now, this European Union vision. They all want to become one day part of the European Union. And in this process, they have committed themselves to make some changes in the way they are governing our countries. And it's on those two positive waves that us civil society organization try to surf and do some positive change in our countries and make institutions more accountable and more transparent. And then speaking about open data, openness, about openness, accountability and transparency, from the perspective of civil society organization in a context like this, is facing a very basic level of resistance. And that is the very low level of awareness about what is openness, what is open data. And when several years ago, when starting this cooperation with the School of Data and the Open Knowledge Foundation, we noticed that people in Macedonia was not aware at all what is open data and what is open governance. So, but even worse in Macedonia, when working with the citizens, we noticed that they don't know, they are not aware that they have the right to hold the government accountable. They even don't know that when the government is spending money, it's spending their money. So this is the basic level awareness that we were facing and that we were trying to raise, saying that when the government is spending money, it's their money. Because in Macedonia and very often in the region, there is this narrative saying that the government provided a gift to your city and they provided you buses or they build a road. It was like, it's like the government is providing a gift, and it's not that it's the money of the citizens and they have to do it. So what is the role of civil society organization in countries like in Macedonia is that really to work a lot in raising awareness about the importance of accountability and transparency, about the benefits that open data and openness bring not only to civil society organizations, to the businesses, to the academia and to the media, but also to the government and institutions. Because as I said at the beginning, coming from this culture of secrecy, when we were talking to government officials about opening data, it was like they were losing something very precious and that they were losing power. And we were trying to convince them that it's quite the opposite, that by opening data, they will just increase trust toward the institutions and they will probably get elected again. That's how we try to raise awareness. Also, what was the role of the civil society organization and what we have done in Macedonia is that we wanted to raise the capacities of NGOs to work with data and also to play this role of a translator. And when I say translator, I mean several things. First, to translate this policy jargon into something which is understandable for the ordinary citizens, and using data visualization, etc. And also to inform and engage citizens. The third thing is also to perform what they already do, and which is a usual role of NGOs, and that it's their watchdog role. And this is something that, using open data, we just provided civil society organization a more important, powerful tool to be more credible, and also to make their advocacy and policy-making activities based on facts. And why I'm mentioning this, because in Macedonia it's particularly important, because in parallel with this closed society in which we are operating, civil society organization in Macedonia also labeled and labeled by the government propaganda as enemies of the state, and that's why this fact-based policy making is even more important, so that there is less opportunities for misinterpretation and speculation. So, the civil society organization Metamorphosis Foundation, in particular in Macedonia and also in the region, because we also act regionally through various network, we try to build the capacities of the civil society organization in one hand, but also we create, in the other hand, we try to create the offer as well. So it's like we create the demand in one hand, so we empower and motivate citizens to ask for information, to hold the government accountable, and this, in the other hand, we also try to stimulate the offer. So we work with the government, we build their capacities, we raise their awareness about the importance of openness, so that we don't want to create a parallel world where civil society organizations are working on transparency and accountability and the government do not cooperate. We work in parallel, although it's very difficult, and we try to use those open government principles to promote them, but also we try those principles to be put into application through different projects. So with the School of Data Network and with the Open Knowledge Foundation, we also provided support to several NGOs in Macedonia to work on very concrete open data projects, on very concrete data products, in order to show what are the benefits. And one of those projects was, for example, to transform the data that were available through an online website for public procurement of the government, to make them available in a more accessible, more understandable way, in a machine-readable format. Because although it was a huge step for Macedonia to have online public procurement open to everyone and to see the data, it was not machine-readable. It was very difficult to filter and to make any analyze or to do any to compile any report that would be useful to NGOs or to the media. So what we have done, it's still work in progress, it's on openprocurement.mk. We have created this site that is taking the data set and providing different report to all interested parties in a way that is also in compliance with open data standards. It's machine readable, and the API is also available for anyone to use. So this is briefly the story about Macedonia. And as I said at the beginning, it's a very difficult context, but I believe that with a very committed work of the civil society organization and with the support of various international networks who share the same value of openness and freedom and equality, I believe that Macedonia at the end will be a success story. Thank you.
Thank you very much both, especially Badil, for being here with us today, despite the situation in Macedonia. But I think both examples actually really well show how important it is to have access to information, and how critical it actually is to have this access for a functioning democracy and a very strong civil society as well. So thank you both for the very inspiring showcases. If you want to know more about the work of School of Data, please come and see us tomorrow at the Data Clinic session. There will be also the game available that Sylvia talked about, so feel free to come by and play with us. If you have questions, further questions, or would like to get in touch with the speakers of the conference here at the Data Summit, please join us now for drinks and snacks and, of course, great conversations. Right over there are the drinks. And also, we would like to know how many badges you actually exchanged. Please lift up your arm. Show us your badges. Okay, I see quite many happy people, which is always a good sign. So tomorrow there will be a riddle, so continue to follow our Twitter account, Daten Summit. And as for tomorrow, registration will start at 10, the program will start at 11, so be there in time. We will meet at a new location at Beta House, Prinzenstraße 19. It's close to the underground station Moritzplatz. There will be much to learn and see. We have great speakers, we have great hands-on workshops planned for you. And also there will be a Barcamp session. So please join us and share your ideas and your thoughts and projects tomorrow. Thank you very much. Be there. We are very much looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Bye-bye.